Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah, who sent down upon us his book most clear, وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and revealed in the last ayah, this day have I completed for you your way of life. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ, I have perfected for you your way of life. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَاتِ, and I have completed my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ, his is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, to him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his final prophet. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, upon his family, wa sahbihi, upon his companions, ajma'een, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimoon, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'uzu billahi minash shaitan rajim. ألم تر إلا الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبحت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. This is the 258th verse of chapter Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter 2. An expression of it is, have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given him kingship? When Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sadaqallahu Alazim. This is part four in our continuing series of Jum'ah on the science of the nature of truth and reality. The science of truth and reality. The first part of the series was the nature of truth and reality, and now science of truth and reality. We come to this point in this set of four verses that form the core of the entire subject. We come to this point because Abraham brings to his support the obedient scientific nature of creation, and his enemy is dumbfounded by that strategy, that guidance, that power, that force. So we speak to the power of truth from the perspective of science. Therefore, this using the obedient scientific nature of creation is a key to settling arguments. That means it doesn't only apply in religious arguments. It applies in all arguments. Just a couple of things. Good reminders. If you find yourself arguing with your husband or your wife, recognize in relationships, marriages, etc., arguments are actually negotiations. So the thing to find out is, what is it that we're negotiating? It's not just what is it we're arguing about. It's like, what is it that we are negotiating? The other thing is, only people of equal knowledge argue. Only people of equal knowledge argue. The demonstration that Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, had more knowledge than his competitor Nimrod in this verse, that he had more knowledge than him, is that he settled the argument because he shut him down. But how did he shut him down? He shut him down with the scientific insight that he couldn't get around, he couldn't encompass, he couldn't comprehend, he couldn't address, he couldn't respond to. So that's literally like being knocked out. And of course, that is one of the strong verses that we're ultimately going to conclude this subject with, not today, but the series itself. It says truth comes and falsehood disappears in one place in the Quran, and another place it says truth hits falsehood in the head and knocks out its brain. So this is an illustration of how that actually happens. And Abraham is the ultimate model, example, the archetype for truth and arguing, actually. So the point is, a key to settling arguments is scientific proofs. But you can't do so without an obedient intellect. I often recommend books, and I'll recommend this one again because I'm not going to stop and do all the qualifying to say that everything that claims to be science today is not science. There's a certain dogmatism that has come into that is called or considered the domain of science that is very unscientific. So I recommend to you Rupert Sheldrake's book, Science Set Free. Science Set Free. You can find it in audio, you can find it in Kindle, you can also find it in paper and hardback. It's very useful to understand it, not just as relates to arguments against dogmatic scientists or arguments against atheists, but just for the sake of understanding scientifically the nature of reality, the nature of what we call objective reality. So we'll leave that there. So today our object is simply to answer the question, what is the relationship between guidance, truth, the intellect? We know, and in the earlier series we pointed out, the only guidance is Allah's guidance, as the Quran says. The only guidance is Allah's guidance. And if anyone is guided, it was Allah who guided them. And the only guidance is with Allah, from Allah. And so anybody who has guidance, it came from Allah. So qualifying ourselves, each of us, seeking to qualify ourselves in our search for truth is to also qualify ourselves for guidance. And in one of the earlier series, don't know which one, but we talked about it. When we talk about wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab ya'lu 'alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah, and we can just go to the first verse, the first verses of the Surah Al-Baqarah, where it says ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is guidance for the muttaqeen, and the muttaqeen are those who are in a position thereby qualified to be guided. So this is all. If you're looking for the truth, you're going to have to be guided to the truth. If you're going to be guided to the truth, then you have to have taqwa. And in order to get that taqwa, in order to achieve that state, there's going to have to be a purification process. And then that's when we go through the formula, recitation, purification, revelation. So guidance. So this is what we're saying. Just understand. So we think guidance is... guidance has to be a very large part of any consideration that you have in mind when you're seeking the truth. You have to be guided, okay? So therefore, you need to really understand what it means to be guided and what it takes to be guided. So we need to understand guidance and then truth, which of course is what we are looking for, but what we're speaking to is the relationship. The relationship, the whole subject is about the science and the nature of truth, haq, truth and reality. The whole subject is about that. But today we're adding in the idea of, well, what role does guidance play? And the third item is, of course, intellect. Intellect. What role does guidance and intellect play in relationship to truth and how each to the other? So truth. Truth. We use the term truth and reality in the language of Arabic. Then it's haq. That's what we're talking about. Haq. But when we speak about it in English, and for the purpose of this, the titles, the science of truth and reality, the nature of truth and reality, we're talking about haq. So, haq. This truth, this reality, it's already in you. Already in you. So there are things that we go searching for the truth about, the truth of whatever, the truth about this, the truth about that, the truth about the other. But whatever that truth actually is, what it actually is already in you. We're going to spend more time, obviously, on it, but look at the simple logic of it. When you find the truth, how do you recognize it? When you find the truth, how do you recognize it? There's a higher argument that I won't even introduce it. I'll leave it alone. The idea is you go and looking for the truth. Okay, well, how will you know when you find it? How will you know that you found the truth? It's because you recognize it as the truth. And without all the arguments of dealing with the idea of, you know, well, I see it and this is true for me and that's true for you. Well, then you're talking about, you know, relative truth, and that quote unquote can be true in that particular situation. But there's a reality behind all existence that is the haq. Okay? And so that also contains the truth of all the relative matters as well. There's a truth of all the relative matters. There's truth of the objective and concrete matters. And when you encounter truth on whichever level, relative, objective, concrete, what have you, then there's still going to be a registry in you. There is this capacity for a registry in you of the truth. Unless, mashallah, unless it gets blocked by impurity, hard-headedness, rebelliousness, and all the other things that blur our vision. As God says in the Quran, it says it's not their eyes that are blind, but their hearts in their breasts that are blind. So you can be standing right in front of the truth and not see it and not recognize it, but it's not the fact that it's not a fact. The fact is that that heart that is also an organ of sight is blind. So I want you to grasp and take the truth of that statement. The truth is already in you with all the qualifications that I've given. Okay, how can you say that that truth is already in you? Okay, you look at the verses of the Quran. You can begin with وَالنَّفْسِمْ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا حُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. By the soul and the proportionate order given to it, and its enlightenment, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The soul already knows what's beneficial for it and what's harmful to it. Blessed is he that causes it to grow, cursed is the one who neglects it. So the soul is already inspired. The soul is already enlightened. The soul is prepackaged. It's a part of the manufacturer's design that it's fully equipped. And that is also specified when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha." And he taught Adam the knowledge of the nature of all things. He taught Adam the knowledge of the nature of all things. So who's Adam? Adam is you and I. Who is this nafsun wahida, that 91 we spoke of? The Quran tells us, "La khalqakum wa ba'dakum illa ka nafsin wahida," that your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as one soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Khalaqna al-insana min nafsin wahidatin." He created the human being from a single soul, a single nafs. So we are that soul, we are that Adam, and we each and every one of us have in us the knowledge of the nature of all things, just by virtue of that design. But there's another verse in the Quran that supports this reasoning. فَأَكِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِدِينَ حَنِيفًا فِطَرَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. For all. So it says, so make it your purpose to practice that way of life without mixing anything into it. That way of life is the nature. It's the nature. It's the origin. Fitratullahi. It is the origin originated by Allah, the Creator. Shatara an-nasa alayha. He originated. He patterned an-nas, all human beings. He patterned all human beings. Alayha. So the pattern that's in every human being is the same pattern that's in the nature of all creation. The same pattern that's in the human, every one of us, is the same pattern that's in the entire, the universe as we call it. So this, so we have the same stuff that makes up stars and makes up planets and makes up the earth and makes up the elements. We are made of that stuff. We are all that stuff, stacked up, formed up, shaped up. لَخَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah, alhamdulillah, in his beautiful design, praise be to Allah, he took all those elements, and compiled them and structured them and formed them into the human form that we have and gave it something that nothing else in the material creation has, something that he said, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. He said to the angels, and when I have breathed into him of my spirit, then you bow down to him. Alhamdulillah. So Allah, subhanahu, for those who get the blessing of that second breath, they earn the resignation, the submission, the support, the help, the obedience of the angels. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll get to that hadith that says more about that. But just let it be understood that the iron that's in my body, the potassium that's in my body, the niacin that's in my body, and everything else, every other element that's in my body, it is the same as the material creation. It's the same stuff. And in that matter is what Allah wills for it. The knowledge of it is in it. The knowledge of it is in it. And that knowledge, that is, listen, how does a scientist get the knowledge that he finally puts on the books? He goes into the element, brings it out with the mind and the intellect that Allah gave him that he didn't give to the rock that he's studying. But he takes that mind and goes into the rock and bring the knowledge that Allah put in the rock out of the rock by the grace of Allah. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. They encompass nothing of Allah's knowledge except as he pleases. But when Allah blesses the scientist, the scientist, to go into it, use that intellect to draw it out, and then write it down, اِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ, taught the man how to read and how to write, and then that knowledge again gets preserved and it gets transmitted bil qalam, teaching man what before he was not knowing. So this is the process by which the knowledge that's in creation, that same knowledge that's in creation, is in every human being, and by the inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedient intellect, man is able to go both ways. He's able to go into himself and bring knowledge out of himself, of himself, and he's able to go into the material creation and bring knowledge out of the material creation that Allah put in the material creation. And as we just said, Allah put knowledge in both the material creation and the human being. And what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into the material creation and into the human being? Quran tells us what it is in the 14th chapter in the 19th verse. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alam tara anna Allah khalaqa as-samawati wal arda bil haqq. It says, do you not see, have you not seen that Allah created the heavens and the earth bil haqq? Allah created the heavens and the earth, that includes you and me, bil haqq, with truth and reality. With truth and reality. So when Allah says, Fitratullahi lati fatara nasa alayha, the same original pattern and nature that he put in creation, we call it sometimes macrocosm, he also put that same into us as human beings, microcosm. Now, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for us to be inspired to be able to reach and grasp and receive and experience and understand and utilize the truth that is in both, the truth that's in the material creation and the truth that's in my reality as a human being. So when we say the truth is already in you, that's what we mean. The truth is already in you. So the quest, the quest for truth, when we're speaking of it here, is to get to that ultimate truth. As Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abraham, when he, the star, the moon, the sun, that movement is a movement that represents the growth of the individual in their capability of doing that. I'm going to need your help. So when I get in this rarefied atmosphere, I need studio conditions. Don't be too hard on them. Just let them know. So it's okay. Okay. There's a conversation going on behind me, and it's, I don't want to lose my point. So, in any case, so the point is that the truth is already in you, and the point that we're making is to point out, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. So don't, I'm inviting you, don't have any resistance to that point, because you're wasting a lot of precious time. The truth is in you. Yes, the deeper insights and philosophy, ideology, and other matters come out when you ask questions inside that frame. And that's good. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The idea about relative truth and between where you are and where you get to in terms of that ultimate truth, all of that is, those are other questions. But the point is that everything in creation is made with truth and reality. And you and I are made with that, and also in that same scheme, we are made of truth and reality. So the point is that you are truth and reality in your essence. Creation is truth and reality in its essence. The discovery of that fact and everything in between comes from that growth that's talked about in Surah 91, where it says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَلَحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. So the blessing is in growing up that capacity that you are born with, but it's not grown. See? So, and Quran says, وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتٍ. Allah created you growing gradually from the earth like a plant. So as a soul, we are a seed, and as such, we have a destiny, we have a potential, but we also have to be cultivated, and that's where the free will and our responsibility comes in. And alhamdulillah, and that's the great favor, to put it very lightly, the great favor that Allah said, I have perfected for you, and that he has completed that favor, and the favor was, the completion of the favor was that I have perfected for you your way of life. So, Rich, I got to take a breath, because there's just so much to it. Some of the greatest minds in this society right now who, and we applaud them, alhamdulillah, we us and their own peers and the world itself applaud them for the exertion that they put their minds and their hearts and how they give their life and their time and they meditate and reflect upon and wrestle with concepts and ideas and finally get it down into a logical order and put it in books and what have you for it. And then everybody's, and they are valuable. Even when we say, even the statements, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Okay, that's one sentence, or maybe a half of a sentence in the full writing. But if you knew how many centuries it took to, A, come to the idea, and B, institutionalize the idea such that it at least in appearance and in aspiration, still holds sway in this country and in the world as something to be sought after and to be held sacred. But if you knew how many tens of thousands of years in the true history of humanity that it took to come to that idea, and how many minds had to be involved, you know, it's like if you look at, get Thomas Jefferson's library, get James Madison's library, get whoever's library, whoever's involved, those 55 men, go get their library and look at what kind of books that they read, and look at their writings, Thomas Paine and people like that. Look at their writings and look at what their library was, and you will see it is this is the kind of work and effort that it took to come to that final conclusion and then work to institutionalize it. All right. Now, that's only to speak about, this is what America rests upon. And think about it. How many ideas is that? It's really one idea. What I just stated to you is really just one idea. And that one idea is the sacred individual, if you really want to know. It's the sacred individual. But if you get the understanding, like Nimrod, okay, we can use Nimrod. Nimrod, the one that Abraham was arguing with, he's a model of Pharaoh. He's a model of Pharaoh because Pharaoh said, I know no other God other than myself, right? And so you can put that in the context of human history where you had this hierarchical design where you had the one on top who considers himself to be the God on earth, if not the only God, as we're pointing out. But so there were many, many centuries where there were men who held this kind of sway and power, so much so that they said, I give life and I cause death, right? Because they had experienced so much power over people, they made the wrong assumption that I am God, right? But then as time went on, if you follow down through history, you'll see that kind of power that was being claimed by pharaonic types. And we know there were good pharaohs, bad pharaohs, but ultimately the model of the bad leader in the Quran is one that has been typified as Pharaoh. MashaAllah, Allah never lies. It is what it is. So in terms of that, so then, but over the centuries, finally that sacred respect moved down from Pharaoh. Let's cut it short. Down to you. Then you had the aristocrats. You know. Then you had the classes of elite people. But then more and more respect started flowing down from the top until finally an idea arose in the world that said, no, not just the one that's on the top, not just the one that's on the middle, but everybody is inherently equal and worthy of human regard. Brother and sister, I'm trying to get you to understand. This took, if you put the full history of human beings on it, millions of years. If you put the civilized history of man on it from the time he was a reader or a writer, then you're talking 60,000 years or something like that to finally come to that idea. Put that on the scale of how important it is. And then on the other side of the scale, put that verse from Allah, El Yawma Akmaltu Lekum Dinukum. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَدِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ. He said, I'm going to do you a favor. You're not going to have to depend on 65 million years of intellectual development and movement from man, from Homo habilis and Homo sapien and Homo sapiens sapien. You ain't going to have to figure it out. You ain't going to have to read all those encyclopedic books. You're not going to have to go through all that. You don't have to go to college, MIT, Stanford, Berkeley, and you choose your own university. All you have to do, alhamdulillah, all you have to do is say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, be sincere, have regard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with this book, Quran, I will guide you that man has arrived at with his fullest exertion of mind and heart and sincerity of spirit, the excellent things that he have arrived at, even so, they are not perfect. But I have akmaltu lakum dinukum. I have given you a perfect way of life, and it's my favor. Allahu Akbar. Allah's doing it as a favor. You didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. Come on, each one of us, you can look at your own life. You know what? Now, what in your life said that? Now, I've done enough. I've earned this. No. It's the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. O Allah, let not our hearts deviate now if you have guided us aright, and grant us a mercy from your own presence, for surely you are the grantor of bondage without measure. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. So it is the growth of that is already embedded in comes with us in our nature. In fact, the prophet says it. Alhamdulillah, this is it's just true all the way around here. The prophet said, everyone is born on fitr. Everyone is born on fitr. So that's what you come out of the womb with this original nature. You come out of the womb fully loaded. You come out of the womb full packed. But just as it is with a baby, that baby with all of those potentials, capabilities, and the destiny of being an upright, walking, talking person, thinking person, it has to grow. Okay, same way with every soul. Every soul has to grow. So in the dimension of the highest planes of possibilities for the human being, that soul has to grow such that it becomes capable of expressing its cosmic qualities. Let's put it like this. I just want you to understand. So many babies, we've had babies born in our communities most recently, you know, some of them, you know, just learning how to, you know, open their eyes. Some of them just learn how to turn over. Some of them just learn how to crawl. Some of them just learn how to walk. Some of them just learn how to talk. It's like, what is that? Those are the natural properties of their bodies realizing their destiny. Okay, but when we become mature in the bodily sense, then at the same time, there is now a continued growth that has to happen on a cognitive, on a rational, on a spiritual level, and those properties are in every soul. So the bodies have these properties. We have this linguistic instinct, so you already have the instinct for language in your body, literally. In your body, and so ultimately, language as a rule simply comes out as a product of just living among human beings, etc. Same way with walking and the other skill sets that go along with that. So, in terms of the soul's properties, in terms of its morality, rationality, and spirituality, all of those they also have to grow. So we are babies. Morally, babies rationally, babies spiritually, babies cognitively at some stage, and then we have to grow and evolve in that respect. So, alhamdulillah, simple. It's to understand a part of this favor that Allah has preferred for you, al-Islam is your way of life. That favor is, let me think, Allah, this is Allah. He said, here, do this, and everything that I promise you is going to happen naturally. Do this, and every potential that I have put in you, and everything that I put in your soul that has a possibility for realization as I intended is going to happen naturally just by practicing al-Islam. Because al-Islam is deen al-fitr. Al-Islam is the way of life perfectly suited, a tailor-made suit for your original nature. It is the perfect process for you to realize all of the potential that I put in you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alameen. So it is the growth of our innate properties that lead us nearer to truth and reality. Because think about it. We came from the origin. We came from the origin. And the origin is our destiny. We're trying to get back to where we came from. Alhamdulillah. Let me share Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi. Imam Muhammad, we make wudu, and there's meaning for each one. Every ritual has a meaning, and Allah knows the meaning. But so as to not spend a lot of time on it, we Quran Salat Institute, we went through every movement of the wudu and the like, but I want to, at this point, just mention this one thing. Because the wudu itself preserves that narrative. It preserves that story. It preserves that process. It preserves that path. When we make wudu, you're supposed to wipe your head one time. You wipe your head one time. Others, you wipe three. Others, you wipe simultaneously, right? But when you wipe your head, you wipe it one time. Okay, well, how do you wipe it one time? You wipe it one time. You start in the back. Then you go to the front. And then you go to the back. Oh, no, that's two times. No, that's one circuit. That's one circuit. What about the full moon? What is the full moon? Full moon is halfway through the cycle. It waxes, then it wanes. It starts out as a hilal, it gets full, and then it goes back like a dried date stump. I think the Quran speaks of it as such. That's the complete cycle when it gets back to halal again. Start back here. You come forward to the forehead, and you go back. That's the story that I've been telling you just now. We start our creation. We start from our creation. You know, they talk about this part right here as the primitive brain. Speaking of it as the primitive brain, and then we are created, then we are educated. Right here, this is the forebrain. This is called the executive center of the brain, as an aspect of the neocortex. You got the primitive brain, neocortex, forebrain, et cetera, all the future planning and the like, et cetera. But this is also a part of the brain that has got man in trouble, so that's why we make two sajdas. So in any case, so you have this brain, so we're created, then we're educated, and then we're educated to be recreated. And that's what we're actually doing. Actually, when we grow in Al-Islam, we grow in education. And then we become conscious. This is also one of the meanings of Khalifa. Meaning of Khalifa. Khalifa is one who leads from behind. So it starts right here. It starts right here. And then you're led by what? You're led by your original nature, becoming conscious. By becoming conscious of your original nature. فَأَكِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِدِينَ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ Quran 30:30, back to 91:7-10. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا They are cultivated. They are successful who causes it to grow. What's to grow? To grow. And Allah أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتٍ Here's your seed right here. Your seed, now you have to cultivate that seed. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. You have to become educated to where you're conscious of your original nature. You're not unconscious of it. You're conscious of your original nature, and you're operating consciously upon your original nature. You are following the original nature in real time, in the real world, using علم أدم الأسماء كلها, the knowledge that Allah put in your very nature. Now you grow and you become conscious of it, and then you become competent in the utilization of your original nature in real time. It says, what is the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That he's the Quran walking. He's the word made flesh. But he is also, لَقَدْ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا He is a model for us, which means that we're supposed to do the same thing. We are supposed to be the Quran walking, meaning that what you hear, what you read, what you understand, you learn how to apply it, you learn how to make it work in the world. يَعْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ عَيَّاتِهِ وَيُزَكِيهِمْ وَيُعَلِمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ الْحِكْمَةِ I hope you can see that there are certain things in this way of life that are repeating patterns in terms of what's the right thing to do. What's the right thing to do? Well, you'll hear verses like the verses that I repeated many times during this khutbah. You'll see that those are the verses, when understood and applied, are the ones that you're supposed to apply on a regular basis on several domains, on different planes, to get what you need to get in that respect. So throw the four birds in there, and then you can see, do all this in relationship to all areas that we need to develop in. And while I'm speaking about it, you know, in a khutbah right here, the point is, it's the institutionalization of that by Muslims who are alive to that and who understand that, who institutionalize that and create a culture upon that. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى الْخَيْرِ That's the command. So you can see how much science, both of your religion and of the domains in question, that are required in order to realize that fully in real time in the world. That's what our brothers, the Moors and sisters, did in the golden era of Al-Islam. They made that wudu. They wiped the head. They took that original nature, became conscious of it, and then they applied that original nature in a way that elevated the humanity consciously, made that nature conscious. May Allah bless us to do the same. So it is the growth of our innate properties that lead us nearer to truth and reality. Ha. Huh? So when you follow that way, what are you getting closer to? It's not that you're getting closer to all relative truths in a specific sense, but you're getting closer to, and Allah knows best, you're getting closer to the nature of truth and reality in everything that you're in touch with. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That's important. I'll say it again. So we said truth is in you. Why? Because you're created from truth. You're created with truth. You're created upon truth. Haq. That's what it is. All right? So now you grow. And in your growing, where are you going? Where are you going when you're growing, right? You're growing towards the truth, back to Abraham. Yeah, I know. I had to change it for me. Yeah, this is where I was. I haven't been lost all this time. I'm just saying it comes back now. And that is, you see, Abraham, when he did star, moon, sun, and then he came to Tawheed, well, see, that's the path that we're on. We're on the believer, inshallah. I claim it, inshallah. Allah knows best. You're on the path to the truth. Hop. You're on the path for where are the milestones, the benchmarks. Well, milestones, benchmarks that Allah has given us in the model of Abraham. First, you got to get through the star. Then you got to get through the sun. The moon. Then you have to get through the sun. And then once you get past that, you will bear witness to the truth and reality that gave rise to that star, moon, and sun, that material creation that we're in. You're bearing witness to that truth. So this we are traveling towards. So in the meantime, then, what happens is you will have, and this is where I'll go ahead and read the hadith, because it fits well here too. Hadith Qudus of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we're trying to understand what's going on in the process. It says, whoever shows enmity to someone devoted to me, I shall be at war with him. My servant draws not near to me with anything more loved by me than the religious duties I have enjoined upon him. And my servant continues to draw near to me with supererogatory works so that I shall love him. When I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his feet with which he walks. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you hear as though Allah is hearing, do you think you hear the truth? If you see as though Allah is seeing, do you think you see the truth? Right? So the point is that when we grow in that innate capacity and by the inspiration of Allah and in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every domain will become clear to us. Whatever is true and whatever the meaning of that star is, we will come into the truth of it. Whatever is true and whatever the meaning of the moon is, we'll get the truth and we'll understand what it is. The sun in the same way. And I'm stating it that way so that you can understand that the star is a symbol of something. The moon is a symbol of something. And the sun is a symbol of something. And not in any one-dimensional type of way. In fact, it in the most universal way, these symbols have their meaning on a universal scale. So what it means is that as you grow, nothing about education will be a mystery to you. Nothing about economics will be a mystery to you. Nothing about governance will be a mystery to you. Nothing about culture will be a mystery to you. Why? Because your growth has brought you to a place where the soul's capacity for sight, for hearing, for tasting, for smelling, for touching on whatever it is that you're addressing, you will have the truth and reality of that. You have the truth and reality of that. But how are you going to get it? You have to grow. You have to grow. And a part of that growth is understanding the science connected with that domain. And how are you going to get that? You have to have an intellect that is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the rest that goes with it. Ya'lu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakihim wa yu'alimuhum al-kitab al-hikmah. That's the formula on all planes, in all domains. You can do that. And what do you do? In the hadith that we read, what it is saying is practice the fard, practice what you're obligated to do, and for real growth, go beyond just the fard. The fard you need in order to be human, in order to get the great reward bounty that goes beyond it. It's a beautiful thing, just being human. That'd be good. Now, some people say, I'll just take that. But in reality, if you are to be Khalifa al-Ard, you're going to have to get to that place that we're describing, and that is done by going the extra mile, let's put it that way, by making the sunnah, by doing the nawafil, by doing those little extra things, not just what you're obligated. Even though just doing the things you're obligated to will get you into paradise. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Allah is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But are you satisfied with your place in the world right now? Are you satisfied with the place of your people in the world right now, whatever your ethnic people are or your religious people? Are you satisfied with that? Okay. Well, then you need more leverage in order to do that, and that leverage comes from growing, and that growing means do more of what you know you're supposed to do anyway and then do a little extra. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْتَبْ. When you are free from your immediate task, don't stop that. Phew, done with that. No. Still labor hard. Go after something bigger. May Allah guide us to it. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. La ta'khuzhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhitun bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a. Wasi'a kursiyyuhu samawati wal ard. ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو علي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance and protection. We beg you to continue your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance and protection. Oh Allah, we thank you for your perfect favor, al-Islam. Oh Allah, we pray that you would strengthen us, bless us, guide us to be sincere and true to this way of life, because we know that it is not a favor from us to you that we come to al-Islam, but it is that you have conferred a favor upon us in guiding us to the faith if we are sincere. Oh Allah, purify us in our hearts, make us sincere. Oh Allah, free us from wrong thinking, wrong behaving, wrong perception. Bless us to see in the way that you would have us see. Bless us to hear in the way you would have us hear. Bless us to feel in the way you would have us feel. Bless us to understand in the way you would have us to understand. Oh Allah, preserve us from our own ego. Preserve us from our own appetites. Preserve us from our own impatience. Preserve us from our own misunderstanding. We beg this of you, only for none can grant and withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah. So let me see if I got some announcements here. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, we have some anniversary. Alhamdulillah. January 16th, Jamil and Robin Edwards, 3 years of marriage, takbir. Alhamdulillah, we have birthdays also. Ehsan Shaheed, the freshly minted papa. Birthday today, November 18th. Okay, here, Stevie One, happy birthday. You got it. Vanessa Williamson, alhamdulillah, happy birthday tomorrow. And also, baby Rashawn Chapman tomorrow as well, 19th. For your calendar, September 22nd, 6 to 8 p.m., another segment of the Study Al-Islam International African-American Muslim-sponsored Zoom conferences, and the theme for this coming 22nd is, does the end result outweigh the means? And it's all an academic study of the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, alhamdulillah. October 3rd, the Meshwarathin monthly yard sale continues, and also books from Meshwarathin are going to be on sale that day. So that's another possibility. I see something trying to chime in here, but I don't know if I have time to wait for it. All right, alhamdulillah. So 3 to 5 Eastern time. Okay, 3 to 5 Eastern daylight. So Pacific time is from 6 to 8 on Zoom. Okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Wa alaikum as-salam. الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألحاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد الله أكبر 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير الموضوع عليهم موضوع الحمد لله سبحانه الله نعم شكرا
السلام عليكم السلام عليكم بلوك توك